Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Traffic accidents across the city last night and this morning. We have the story.
President Trump suggests a U.S. rebuild of Gaza. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. The future of the Crown Uptown Theater is in question. We'll tell you why coming up.
Man arrested in connection to a deadly Hutchinson house fire. I'm Dan O'Neill.
First responders were busy around midnight in West Wichita. Drizzle and sub-freezing temperatures resulted in slick highways and at least four accidents on ramps and elevated roadways, especially on Kellogg at I-235. And two of the accidents were rollovers, several injuries reported, at least one of them serious. The accident occurred between 11:45 at Tuesday night and 12:30 this morning, and then they resumed around 5 o'clock this morning.
President Trump is proposing that the United States take over Gaza to redevelop the war-torn territory.
Standing alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Trump described developing the Gaza Strip into the Riviera of the Middle East.
I think you'll make that into an international, unbelievable place. I think the potential in the Gaza Strip is unbelievable.
President Trump is calling on Jordan, Egypt, and other countries to take in Palestinian refugees displaced from Gaza. The president describing the war-torn territory as a demolition site, telling reporters he does not think people should go back. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The Crown Uptown Theater near Douglas and Hillside in Wichita will not be allowed to expand.
The Wichita City Council unanimously voted to deny that motion at Tuesday's meeting. Back in October, the owner stated he wanted to expand the facility to increase capacity to over 2,000 people. Scott Wadle with the planning department was asked what would happen next.
The applicant has indicated multiple options that they may pursue in the future. One of those is to demolish the building. There is a process that was described as part of the staff report for addressing that and considering that.
That means the city could temporarily block demolition since the theater is identified by the city as a historic site. Other alternatives include using the building for storage or as a shelter. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Any motion to block demolition cannot exceed 30 days, except if extended by the council.
At today's meeting, the Sedgwick County Commission will look at helping people who live in a polluted area around 29th and Grove in North Wichita. Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News.
The county is going to entertain through a MOA a local contribution of $125,000 to help match some funds that the city of Wichita has provided, that some local organizations will be providing, and the state of Kansas will be providing to help with testing for those that have been impacted in the 29th and Grove contamination area.
And Beatty commented during his weekly visit with Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS.
A man has been arrested in connection to the deaths of a woman and child in a Hutchinson house fire.
The fire broke out early Saturday in the 1,000 block of East 3rd. 32-year-old Kelsey Payton and 4-year-old Naomi Payton died in the blaze. Their bodies were discovered inside of the structure. The 37-year-old suspect and Naomi's 6-year-old sister were both transported to a Hutchinson hospital for treatment. The girl was later transferred to a Wichita hospital where she was treated and released. The man was booked into the Reno County Correctional Facility Tuesday on suspicion of 2 counts of first-degree murder and aggravated arson, among other charges. Formal charges are pending. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
The United States has a new attorney general.
The Senate has voted to confirm President Trump's Attorney General nominee, Pam Bondi.
On this vote, the yeas are 54, the nays are 46. The nomination is confirmed.
Pennsylvania's John Fetterman was the only Democrat to vote for Bondi, the former Florida AG. Both the Justice Department and FBI have been under scrutiny by Democrats after Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove directed the acting FBI director to identify all current and former Bureau employees assigned to January 6th cases for internal review. The effort prompted FBI agents to file two separate lawsuits Tuesday. Bondi has repeatedly said she will not use her position to advance any political agenda. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Men's basketball last night, the Shockers and the Wildcats both on the road. We'll have highlights from those games coming up in sports.
A six-car train derailment blocks traffic in North Wichita. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. The tracks are cleared now after a train derailment Tuesday afternoon in North Wichita near 21st and Mosley. Train blocked 17th Street and 21st Street near Mosley as crews work to get the cars back on the tracks. Six cars derailed.
U.S. Senator from Kansas, Jerry Moran, spoke on the Senate floor yesterday, encouraging his colleagues to confirm former Congressman Doug Collins from Georgia as the new Secretary of the VA.
I never envisioned being a United States Senator, and now the chairman of the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, where our responsibilities are greater than just respect and gratitude. That's certainly important, but now we are here to make certain that all the promises we made to those who serve are kept.
And the Senate did vote to confirm Collins as the next Secretary of Veterans Affairs. That vote was 77-23.
Democrats held a rally to protest the Department of Government Efficiency, and Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez blamed the agency for hiring young employees. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer has details.
Democratic lawmakers called for a government watchdog to look into the Treasury Department's decision to reportedly grant DOGE employees access to sensitive government payment systems. A Treasury Department official explained in a letter published by Punchbowl News that anyone allowed to review their systems is only given read-only access. Now, Musk is also taking heat for his hiring choices.
They don't do their homework. Clearly, they're putting 19-year-olds in at the Treasury. This dude is not smart.
DOGE says they have eliminated nearly $45 million in building leases and the controversial overhaul of USAID. We are learning the Department of Education could be next.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and other Democratic members of Congress held a demonstration outside the Department of the Treasury.
A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from relocating several transgender prisoners to a men's facility.
The ruling from a federal judge in Washington, D.C. temporarily blocks the transfer of three transgendered women to men's facilities. The lawsuit prompting the ruling was filed by the prisoners after President Trump's executive order signed on his first day in office, which aims to prevent men from being housed in women's prisons. The judge's ruling also prevents the termination of the prisoners' hormone therapy. The judge finding that the prisoners' lawyers would likely be able to prove that the president's executive order violated the Eighth Amendment prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment. The Justice Department claimed it has discretion to place prisoners and that the judge's ruling is premature because the prisoners haven't been moved yet. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Things are still pretty hectic out there on the roadways right now. Roadways slippery. We've got some very slow-moving traffic, and that's a good thing right now. Southbound on I-235 approaching Kellogg. Another traffic accident on the ramp there being announced fairly recently. Again, the roadways, elevated roadways, bridges, overpasses, that sort of thing, they're all going to be very slippery this morning and very dangerous. Be careful and drive slowly. Make sure you're keeping those low beams on in the fog as well. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Please drive safely this morning and use extra caution. Winter weather advisor going to be in effect through noon due to the potential of freezing drizzle throughout our morning hours. Could create a light glaze of ice on our roads, making things slick. Cold high of 39. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronald Williams.
Now fog, mist, and 28 degrees. We have a northeast wind at 5 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. You know what makes a great gift? anything from the Monarch. Shop local for your whiskey lover with gift cards, apparel, and glassware. The Monarch, West Douglas, in historic Delano. 7:10 in the morning here on KNSS, and now we're talking the president wanting to reorganize, or get rid of USAID, a global organization that distributes money and goods globally for the USA. And to talk about it this morning, Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Steve.
AID goes back to John Kennedy, President Kennedy, and it was during the Cold War, and this was our way of going into nations that were trying to be influenced by the communists, the Chinese, and the Russians, our way of going in there and influencing them by giving them some much-needed aid. Tell us about it.
Yes, yeah, soft power is how it's described. You can go into a country, you can do good works, you can spread the word of your world vision, if you like, promote democracy, and generate goodwill for your country and hopefully some back-scratching in return. And of course, many people just like the idea of distributing access to clean water, HIV and AIDS treatment, anti-corruption work, women's health, all these sort of things, anti-malaria. So $72 billion is how much USAID distributed in 2023. But now the Trump administration has decided they don't like USAID. They don't want it to be separate from their vision of America First, and they want to incorporate its work into the State Department. In doing so, they have put on leave all directly hired employees around the world, recalling thousands of personnel working overseas. The workforce totals more than 10,000, so this is quite a big deal.
Is there a word that the AID is corrupt, that it's mismanaged, all of those things?
There's, I think, two things about this, about why the Trump administration wants to change things. Firstly, I think there is some skepticism among some of Donald Trump's advisors about the value of foreign aid, of spending all this money. But secondly, Elon Musk has sent out tweets calling USAID a criminal organization, although there's no evidence for that, calling USAID employees an arm of radical left globalists. President Trump says the agency is run by radical lunatics, and they've pointed to various ways that the agency has spent smaller amounts of money carrying on work they don't think is necessarily what the agency should be doing.
All right. So where does Congress come in all this? Are there any laws to protect AID from this kind of thing?
Well, there are questions about whether the Trump administration really can do this legally. And we've already seen some of Donald Trump's early policies being challenged in the courts, and we may well see this again. In terms of Congress, it's probably worth mentioning that there is general bipartisan support for the international aid budget, and there has been for many years. Just last year, 80% of the House of Representatives, many of them, of course, Republican, rejected an amendment to eliminate foreign aid from the 2025 budget. So this is going to be controversial, depending on exactly what the Trump administration's plan is for international aid in the future.
All right. Thanks for being with us, as always, Jonathan. We appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage with Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And Jonathan, that was good. He told me some things I didn't know, and I hope he shared some information that maybe you didn't know about AID and what it's all about. You know, you go back to your history after World War II and in Europe, which was, of course, devastated by all the bombing and the war and everything. And, of course, the Russians on the east, they're looking to take, you know, Poland and as many as they can. And we had something called the Marshall Plan, which was very controversial. But that was administered by George Marshall. Harry Truman, the president, said, we got to go in there and help rebuild that country, keep those countries and keep them from being communist. Seems to have worked for the most part. Saved a lot of people. Well, that was, I'm sure, where John Kennedy got his impetus to do AID.
If you want to know more about the Marshall Plan, visit the Truman Library in Independence, Missouri.
Oh, gosh.
They've got a great entire room dedicated to the Marshall Plan. It's
interesting. I haven't been up there in years, and I got to get back. And the last time we were up there, and I don't know if they still do this, the last time I was up there, it's been quite a while back, but you could go
to the house.
Yeah, they
where
took
Harry
you through
lived.
The house.
Yeah. You could look in the back door and see where his cane and his hat were there.
Yeah,
it's quite a deal. Truman Library. Be something. I got to go back and see it again. All right. 8:17 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. A lot of sports going on this morning with Ted Woodward. Ted, tell us about it, sir.
Yes, we are 4 days out from the Super Bowl, of course, in the Superdome in New Orleans. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles hooking up in 4 days.
In the NFL, history is on the line Sunday night in New Orleans. The Chiefs can become the first team to win three straight Lombardi trophies as the Chiefs and Eagles kick off in Super Bowl 59 at 6:30 Eastern, a game that can be seen on Fox. It's a Super Bowl rematch from 2 years ago when the Chiefs came out on top, and Mahomes told reporters today that there are some things that Kansas City can take from their 2023 victory.
A lot of the same players, a lot of the same coaches. You have to learn from what they've done this season, obviously. And so you look at the tape, you get what you can from that, and then you move on to what they've done this season.
That was courtesy of the Chiefs. Staying with the Super Bowl, the league will stencil the words "Choose Love" in the back of one of the end zones at the Superdome. In a statement, league spokesman Brian McCarthy said in part, quote, "Choose Love is appropriate to use as our country has endured in recent weeks wildfires in Southern California, the terrorist attack here in New Orleans, the plane and helicopter crash near our nation's capital, and the plane crash in Philadelphia. It takes all of us." Will be stenciled in the other end zone at the Superdome. I'm Joe Morgan.
And that report from Fox. Don't forget, Super Bowl on Sunday. It's right here live on KNSS. We have Chiefs pregame coverage beginning at 3 o'clock Sunday, then the game itself from the National Network, and then rejoining the Chiefs Network for postgame show. That's all coming up in the Super Bowl on Sunday here on KNSS. College men's basketball last night. Wichita State on the road at Charlotte. It had been 3 months since the Shockers won a road game. They got that changed last night. And one of the big guys, Quincy Ballard, putting up big numbers again for the Shockers. Here's Mike Kennedy and Bob Hull with the call of the game on 103.7 KEYN.
Cortez right wing, fake the drive, now dribbles to the top, lobs for Ballard, who slams it with both hands again.
Yeah, Cortez was determined to get it to Ballard that time. They ran a little two-man basketball on that side over by the bench, and he made a beautiful pass. And a good catch by Ballard.
Shockers snap a four-game losing streak and win last night at Charlotte, 66-58. The final score coming from 10 points down in the first half to win it by 8 last night. Here is Wichita State head coach Paul Mills.
We were able to get Q some opportunities around the rim today, and you know, he can finish, obviously, given his ability. So I thought all of that just played well. I thought guys played with poise, and you need that. The free throw mileage down the stretch got a little that had me wondering over there, but it was good to see us finish it.
Shockers have won 2 conference games this season, both against Charlotte. All right, late night with Kansas State men's basketball last night in Tempe, taking on Arizona State. K-State began the game down 15-0, but then came back and they had the halftime lead. But this thing would come right down to the very end. Arizona State looked like it might have a breakaway dunk for the lead, but K-State committed a foul on the play. So Arizona State had 2 free throws with a chance to tie or take the lead with just a few seconds to go. Boy, what a finish. You heard it late last night. Wyatt Thompson with the call on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Free throw. No. Ball deflected out. McDaniel's got it with 3 seconds to go. Lead pass ahead for Max Jones. K-State wins the game. Kansas State wins the game 71-70. Wow, the Wildcats pull it out. They find a way, and they've won their 4th consecutive game.
About that, Arizona State missed both free throws. K-State wins it. That's 4 in a row now in the victory column for Kansas State. After the game, Wyatt Thompson spoke with K-State head coach Jerome Tang.
If you want a game of back and forth, this was probably it. Coach, you dug a 15-0 hole, down 18-2, and you led the game at halftime and found a way to win at the end. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
congrats.
Just for the record, we did not want to start like that. And no, we didn't want a back and forth game. But our guys, man, you know, they fought through. You know, we didn't start the way we wanted to. We faced some adversity. They stuck together. We took the lead at the half. We built the lead in the second half.
David Gasson led the Wildcats with 22 points last night, 8 of 11 shooting. And Doug McDaniel almost got a triple-double, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 7 points. No K-State basketball player has ever had a triple-double.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
It is interesting. Well, it's JUCO men's basketball tonight. 18th-ranked Butler Community College on the road at 22nd-ranked Barton. Both teams are nationally ranked going into that one. Dennis Higgins will have live coverage of Butler basketball at 7:15 tonight. That's over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. And college women's basketball tonight. Wichita State hosting Florida Atlantic. That game will tip off at 6 o'clock tonight at Coke Arena. And I will be the guest public address announcer for the Shocker women tonight.
Break a leg.
Looking forward to it at Coke Arena this evening. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean says other nations are caving to Trump's demands. That's coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 8:30 on this Wednesday morning, 28 degrees. A man is dead and a woman and child injured in a crash in Cowley County Tuesday morning on Highway 77 south of Winfield. A man in a truck was northbound in the southbound lanes when he collided with an SUV. 91-year-old Walter Thurman of Arkansas City was pronounced dead at the scene. The woman and child in the SUV were hospitalized in serious condition. The city of Wichita and the owner of the Starlight Drive-In have come to an agreement on a loan restructuring plan.
The Starlight closed in October 2018, but Blake Smith from Tulsa purchased the property and reopened for the 2019 season. The city invested $200,000 as a low-interest loan to Smith to purchase two new movie projectors. Smith says the facility is doing good, but there have been challenges along the way.
There's not as much product as there used to be. We had Hollywood strikes. The pandemic changed everything. Streaming, there's just more product going streaming. So, you know, we're probably looking at about half the movies being released that used to be released.
Those factors have led to an attendance drop at the drive-in. To counter that, Smith says they will raise prices this season. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Now, under the new agreement, Smith will pay the city $50,000 up front and will repay the remaining $150,000 over the next 6 years. The Starlight Drive-In plans to open up for the 2025 season February 14th, Valentine's Day. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News he expects a robust discussion at today's commission meeting. They'll be talking about a local contribution of $125,000 to help match funds from the city and state to help with testing those impacted by groundwater contamination near 29th and Grove in North Wichita.
We don't know if it was one large spill or if this was a series of spills that took place at what's now the Union Pacific Railroad, that rail yard over there just north of 29th and Grove. So we didn't determine, or the city of Wichita didn't find this until they were doing construction on East 21st Street in the mid-90s.
Beatty commented during his weekly chat with Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS. The Senate Judiciary Committee heard powerful testimony from heartbroken family members of fentanyl victims Tuesday. Fox's Mike Emanuel has more.
In the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing room, it was clear this crisis is spreading quickly. An emergency room doctor from Wisconsin noted it doesn't take much fentanyl to kill many people. The Orange County, California sheriff blamed border policies during the Biden administration for making this problem worse. Fentanyl is part of why President Trump's tariffs against China take effect.
They're not going to come through Mexico anymore, and they're not going to let the fentanyl come in from China. And China hopefully is going to stop sending us fentanyl. And if they're not, the tariffs are going to go substantially higher.
One father told senators children are supposed to make mistakes, but not die from them.
The committee's hearing was on a proposal to permanently classify fentanyl as a Schedule I drug, as its temporary classification is set to expire. A New York State judge has stepped down over comments he made to avoid serving on a jury.
Richard T. Snyder, who has been a justice of the Petersburg Town Court in Rensselaer County for about 10 years, resigned after he was charged with misconduct by a state judicial commission. Court transcripts show Snyder tried to avoid serving on a jury in 2023 by first identifying himself as a judge and then saying, "I know everybody who comes in front of me. I know they are guilty. They would not be in front of me." The judge overseeing the case reported Snyder to state officials. At his hearing last year, Snyder said he understood defendants are are considered innocent until proven guilty, but that he still felt people wouldn't be in court if they didn't commit crimes. In New York, Lee Silicera, Fox News.
Stephen's Head of the Morning, KNSS, 8:50 on a Wednesday morning. Three big things. Sedgwick County Commission will consider aid for medical testing of residents in a polluted area of North Wichita.
Two.
Wichita City Council turns down expansion of the Crown Uptown Theater. Concerns for impact on the neighborhood.
One.
Trump proposes that the U.S. take over Gaza and rebuild and redevelop the war-torn territory. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
We've had a lot of slide-offs and accidents today out there on some icy and slippery roadways. Most recently on K-254, a little ways east of that North Junction. It's right where K-254 goes over Hillside and 45th Street North. Had an injury traffic accident there. Just be extra careful today, especially this morning, as we've just got some temperatures right around that freezing mark and fog. Elevated roadways, things are just getting very slippery, or things are, have been very slippery out there today. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
20% chance for rain and drizzle today at a high of 40 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the overnight low 33. Then for Thursday, sunny and warming back up to a high of 49 degrees. Now we have fog and mist, a northeast wind at 5 miles per hour and 28 degrees. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted and all three of the major indices closing up yesterday on Wall Street. This morning, the Dow is down about 11 points as we start the trading day. And now the S&P is down 11 points as well. And the NASDAQ is down by 91 points.
And a local business update from the Wichita Business Journal. The Charles Koch Foundation, the D.C. area-based nonprofit founded by Wichita businessman Charles Koch, partnering on an initiative to help mid-sized local companies attract and retain employees. A grant from the Charles Koch Foundation will support up to 15 companies taking part in the Kansas Leadership Center's Workforce Innovators Program. That's according to a news release from the KLC. Through the partnership, 3 to 5 employees from the mid-sized companies will be able to learn skills and try to lead change in their organizations, create a culture of innovation, and leverage a more energized workforce. That's according to KLC President and CEO Kay Monk Morgan. The Workforce Innovators Program targets companies anywhere between 200 and 1,000 employees, as well as small companies that anticipate growing to that size during the next couple of years.
The Wichita City Council unanimously has denied an amended version of the Crown Uptown Theater owner's occupancy request, which had changed the maximum limit from around 2,000 people to a number to be determined by the fire department. In the near term, the vote ends a month-long attempt by the theater's owner to increase the building's occupancy, otherwise potentially sell or tear it down. A Council District 1 council member, Brandon Johnson, whose district encompasses the College Hill Theater, said he had a number of concerns with the owner's request. Quote, "The proposed amendment would allow a more intense use and would have been detrimental, have a detrimental impact on neighborhood properties," he said during this Tuesday meeting. "And those impacts also include parking and congestion in the area," unquote. That's the Wichita Business Journal update this morning. Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Talk about the Crown Uptown Theater. Is it still now the Crown Uptown Dinner Theater as it had for?
It hasn't been a dinner theater for
years. What's they doing now with it? And just a venue, or
it's a venue?
Okay, yeah. For years and years, Ted Morris had that thing, and you could go down there and have dinner and see a locally produced show. And
he had that thing running very well for me.
Shelly and I went to a number of shows down there. And that's where I got to see in person the Smothers Brothers. How about that?
Yep, they've hosted a lot of great performers over the many, many years.
The Crown Uptown.
Of course, it was a movie theater before then.
Yeah.
Cinerama movie theater back in the day.
I saw movies back there back in the day. Today is a National Weather Person's Day, honoring all individuals working in meteorology, weather forecasting, and broadcasting meteorology. The day also recognizes volunteer storm spotters, observers, and others who work in the weather field. And, of course, Ted and I and Jad, we've done a little weather spotting ourselves over the years. In fact, the past couple of years, the Kansas Association of Broadcasters has honored KNSS as the top severe weather station in radio in Kansas 2 years in a row. How about that? We were talking earlier about television weather people that we've known. Some of them we've worked with over the years. Mentioned at Channel 3, Dave Freeman, and before that, Mike Smith, Cecil Carrier. Who else have
we had a caller call up and mentioned Bob Schofield.
Bob Schofield. Bob worked at Channel 12, and we did radio with him when I was at KUIN for a while. That guy's a hoot. He was a fun guy. He believed in having a good time. And at one point, before the new owners came in, they let him do the evening news, weather, sports, all of it.
He did the whole 30 minutes all by himself for a while. 30 minutes. I remember watching that.
Wow, that was weird. All right. National Weather Person Day. Coming up, we've got the Glenn Beck program here on KNSF. They're going to be looking at how USAID spends billions of dollars. Top of the hour news this morning, Trump proposes U.S. rebuild of Gaza. If you missed any of today's show or just want to listen again, go on the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, the Dana Lash Show, and news updates all day. We are Steve and Ted in the Morning on 98.7 at 1330 KNSS Wichita.
When you hear the term...